All right, we'll start with you, Coach Shepherd. Thanks a lot for coming down here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Randy. Glad to be here.
Now, I think quick, let's introduce the players, and then we'll get into some of the questions here. Got your mic?
Yeah, I think he's all good. Coach, can I hear you?
Testing.
Yeah,
there
now we go.
There we go.
Yeah,
now we got him. Now we got him. Good. Let's just run down the line here quick. Introduce some of the players you brought along with you. Give us your name, your positions, and your year.
And we know they're all seniors.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
Let's go name and
seniors.
Position.
Okay.
I'm Zach Michon, and I'm a defensive end. Max Friedel, and I'm a wide receiver.
Matthew Blackburn, I'm a running back.
Okay. Coach, I want to jump into something right away with the eight-man. There's a little bit of a change. And in fact, with our magazine, this happened since I put our magazine together, our preview together. You guys have been merged now or consolidating with the Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, which had, at one point had its own 11-man team last season and played in the NAC. Now they're going to be with you. It's kind of tell me about the genesis of how that happened and how it's built up and beefed up your roster.
The principal over at OSHA is Lou Bajanis. And Lou and I have been friends for a couple of years, and we were talking through the summer. He lost some families at his school, some of his guys that were ball players, saw that his numbers were dwindling, and we had been in conversation about co-oping. Our school at Christian Life decided they wanted to stay eight-man. Mm-hmm. We had numbers to be able to play eight-man. And right at the end of July, Lou's crew actually joined us, and we had to go through some of the steps very quickly with the state, but we're very excited about those kids. They have really done a nice job with practice and made things really happen for us.
How much did it boost your roster? How many did you have before and then with the addition of them?
Well, we're going to be 21 or 22 this year. Max that's with us is from Keith. We have 12 guys that will be with us from Christian Life, and then the rest of the guys will be from OSHA. They got like 9 guys.
Okay. What has that done to practice? I'm sure that's a whole lot better when you got that many guys. You can go head-to-head. You can probably go a full 11-on-11, things like that, as opposed to in the past, was probably half line.
Well, the learning curve is really short because, you know, like most of the teams around us that have been practicing, they've also had a summer. They've had summer camps and stuff, and we didn't really get that.
Yeah.
We had summer workouts with our guys, so our crew was still working through this, but we didn't see them until we started on August the 6th.
Okay.
And so we've had to go fast pace. But they've done very well and worked very hard and blended very well with our group.
How are you handling and instituting part? Are you just going to do bits and pieces and kind of add as the season goes, then your offense and things like that?
We're going to have to do that because keep in mind that not only are we just teaching them to work with our system, but they have to get used to the flow and the speed of eight-man.
Right, right.
Okay? So just like Jay was talking earlier, the fact that you got to really pick up your pace a little bit. It's like basketball on grass. And so we actually even put our foot on the pedal a little bit more because we like running with no huddle. We like running a quick pace. We try to get as many plays in as possible.
I want to get to some of these players here, get their thoughts on, you know, playing eight-man and the pros, the cons in terms of what is asked of you as guys as players. I guess we'll start with the baseline. It's not traditional football. It's not football that you watch on Saturday and Sunday on TV. What was the biggest adjustment for you playing that game between the lines? That, you know, it can be a lot of fun, but you got to kind of adjust to that new way. What were the biggest adjustments for you guys from what you watch and now what you guys are doing in practice every day?
To me, there wasn't really an adjustment to do. It's just once I learned 8-man, it was more learning trying to figure out how 11-man worked again. 8-man has just kind of been the home base now, and it's more fun, honestly.
And what are those differences to you?
The what?
What are those differences between 8 and 11 man for you? What do you think the biggest difference that folks who maybe haven't seen it before should know?
Oh, the biggest difference have to be the comebacks that come in. You would be down and losing in the third quarter, and they might come back and blow out the other team in the fourth quarter. Just the pace of the game is so much quicker, and it keeps moving and moving, and you have to be ready every play.
And like Coach was saying, you guys did not get the same opportunity for the summer camps and the things like that. So when we hit the ground running last week, and like you said, with wanting to play with pace and play with flow and go fast on offense, that means you guys have to be in really good shape too, right out of the gate, to do what you guys are being asked to do. So is that the biggest adjustment to the first few practices, just making sure our conditioning's in the right place? Is it making sure more the installation stuff, making sure we got the playbook down that you guys want to run? I would imagine conditioning is probably a big part of what you guys have been doing for the first week and week and a half here.
Yeah, most conditioning.
What's the drill that when Coach barks out, you guys all kind of go, oh, no, I heard gassers, I heard 150s earlier this week. What's the conditioning drill that when you guys hear, you know you're going to get your butts kicked a little bit?
The tire flips.
Oh.
You guys were flipping tires?
For the whole field and then back.
You guys flip tires for the whole field and then back down again. How big of a tire, Coach?
We're talking tractor tires.
Oh no!
I was hoping like a little Toyota Camry, but apparently not.
We're talking, like, but they got another one coming next week, which we call the Moonwalk. Which basically, you take a regular tire from a car, it's over the top of your head, and you got to get across the field and back. We haven't put that in yet. So well, that's coming.
You should have seen that. I wish we had TV right now to see the reaction when coaches explained that.
Well, and my boss is on my right here. Your guy's left. I think he has a new go-to when I don't follow through. I think I got to flip tires now.
You can carry a tire around the studio. That's not that hard.
Yeah, but you're right. I got to go out to the tower field out in our office and just flip tires for a while.
Well, I introduced it during summer camp to some of the guys who were there that night. You know, were actually summer workouts. So those who did it, they had an opportunity to see what's going on. But basically, every type of drill we have, if you're going to play eight-man, has to have some kind of aerobic workout with it. So whether you're talking about speed or you're talking about quickness, you're talking about get into your spot. The biggest thing with eight man is you got to beat your man to the area. You got to beat him to the spot before you get there.
Coach, have you found any difficulty getting buy-in on the different type of football, different game? Or do numbers kind of force kids who are just passionate about the game to buy in? Has that been difficult at all for you?
Well, New Rockne said that football was blocking and tackling and scoring.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed for eight men.
That's right.
It's just a matter of what you can do is you're working on your skills, you're working on your tackling. What our guys have figured out is the fact that they became very good open field tacklers.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a college that was recruiting one of our kids a couple years ago, and that's the first thing he saw. He said, we tackle pretty well in space. Mm-hmm. And so you have to work on that, and you have to have drills that are associated with that. They have to do that on defense. And in the eight-man league offense, a lot of these guys will come in with spread offenses or quick offenses or no huddles, so that's actually pretty good. The defense is where you have to really work because the pressure's on them. If you think about it, you're running with 11 man, you always have an odd look. You always have a joker you can move around.
Yep.
You go to even man, whether you're running offense or defense, you got to find that edge. It's a little different look.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I was going to ask, for those that aren't knowledgeable eight man, what is the lineup on the field, both offensively and defensively? In other words, what are the three players that you don't see in eight-man that would be in 11-man?
Well, traditionally what they'll do is they'll take off, like, two linemen, two tackles, okay, and a running back.
Okay.
You basically, the one rule is that on the line is you have five on the line, and the last two guys on the line are eligible. So it doesn't matter what their numbers are. Numbers do not matter.
Okay.
So we could have a 58 on one side. He's eligible. So it forces the defense to not forget that dude.
Yep.
In the running back edge, you'll see they'll try to gain an edge with motion, try to gain an edge with formation. But you're seeing, I mean, we can run option just like 11. We can run power just like 11 leads. You're throwing the ball. It becomes a more vertical game than it does a horizontal game. So basically you're throwing up the field or you're trying to run to the edge.
Coach, I'm going to ask you to pass that mic to the young man on your left there. And I'm volunteering you for the team superlatives for Christian Life. You got to pick a teammate. Doesn't have to be of these guys here in front of you. Anyone on your team do you want to give a shout-out to that wins these awards? So first off, I want to know who's the most likely to give that pregame speech before the game of your teammates. Who would you most want to give a pregame speech?
I'd have to say Hayden Kennedy.
Hayden Kennedy's the most likely to give the pregame speech. Who's
for
the
sure.
best dressed teammate?
Best dressed?
Who's got the most style?
Oh, boy.
you can say yourself.
Coach is giving some suggestions here.
I'd probably say John over at Olsha.
Okay. Yeah. I like that pick. And what position does he play?
He plays running back.
See?
Yeah.
Every time, best dress goes to a running back. It's incredible.
It goes with skilled players. Usually QB, right receiver, running back are always best
Without
dressed.
Fail, it's always a running back. Worst dressed teammate.
Worst dress.
One who just wears sweatpants and cutoffs every single day.
I'd have to say either Zach
He's got shorts over on.
Or Dylan Alley.
Or Dylan Alley. Okay. Yeah. What position do they play? I know I got D-end here, but about Dylan?
Yeah, cornerback.
Cornerback, that's a new one.
That throws off.
That's a new one.
Usually a lineman at a slot.
It's almost exclusively line that
and
win that award.
Speaking as a lineman, I love that fact.
Player on your team with the most sauce. Yeah.
Probably Paul.
Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Shout out to Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's got a lot of sauce. And then my final one, who would be most likely to get the aux cord in the locker room? Pre-game or post-game?
I'd have to say Probably me.
You.
There we go.
That's the one with the playlist.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Well, those are our team superlative. I threw you under the bus. You responded well. Yeah. There's a few suggestions from Coach. Randy, anything else you got for Christian Life here?
Just really quick then. You guys, now especially that you're a little bit more beefed up in terms, I know when you sent me your questionnaire, you had yourselves as among the top four to finish in the conference. Do you see yourself as changing? Are you now a favorite? Do you look at yourself as a favorite? Or the chance of winning a championship?
I think a lot's going to depend on how well we gel. We've got a couple of games that we're playing early on that they're decent teams. One is Elkhart Lake up by Green Bay. It's up by Sheboygan. And then another one is down, we're playing North Shelby, which is in Missouri. And so those are kind of like your non-conference games to really kind of get you into conference. I would say Lake Forest Academy did the best as far as the northern end of our conference. And I think that a new team that's come in, and they've got a pretty good size, and they got quickness, and they got a really solid quarterback, is Milford Co-op.
Okay,
they're down by they're just north of Champaign.
Okay,
and they've got some good players. They've always they've had to play Casey Westerfield and Tolano and Gibson City and some of those that they're really solid ball clubs, and so now they have a chance to kind of really get in there with a. Their talent base to be able to play some of us, and I think they've got a really good team. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Alden Hebron always brings it. Mm-hmm. They're always tough. They always play hard. You have to be on your toes when you play them, and they're our rival, so we'll see how we do.
That's some good road trips, too, I tell you, between Missouri and Green Bay and Champaign.
Christian Life out here, Coach Bill Shepherd, thanks for everything you do for us, Coach. Always so willing to accommodate us when we ask you to come out. These seniors you brought with you, first class the whole way. I love talking to them. Looking forward to watching you guys play. Unique style of football. Hope other people get a chance to get down there and see it as well. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, come down and watch us. First home game is going to be at Lake Forest. It'll be on a Friday night. Friday night lights, just like everybody else. So
we can't wait to see it.
Get free. Come on, see us.